Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators, where we want to help home churches send their missionaries in the best way possible. I'm here with Timothy Dabney. He's our Mission Security Manager, or actually our Ministry Security Manager here at Shepherd Staff. And today we want to speak about cybersecurity. It's part of our ongoing podcast series on security for missionaries, and today we're focusing on that area. Tim, you want to add to that a little bit?
Well, thanks again for having me here, Ed. And it's always a pleasure to help the body of Christ any way that we can. And my disclaimer before we go down the security, cybersecurity realm is that I barely know how to turn on my computer. Maybe I'm a little better than that, but there are many experts in the field. So when it comes to technical questions like, things of what type of solid state drive you should get or a type of encryption you should use, really, there are people we can refer you to answer some of those questions. But we're going to talk generally today about things that you can do and the types of people that may be trying to access your computer and or your online presence as you're working out in the field.
Well, Tim, what's a criminal looking for, or how should we be, from our starting point, what would a criminal be wanting to gain access to the standard missionary's computer for?
Well, a criminal, and really we're going to look at three different sets of people. And one would be the criminal, which is the most common. That's the most likely scenario that people are going to run into is they're going to look at fiduciary crime. They're going to be looking at accessing your identity, getting your credit card information, accessing your bank accounts, using your Social Security cards or any other governmental identification to get money.
So, and not vastly different than what we experience here in the States.
No, it's not at all. It's just that some of the Wi-Fi systems that you'll experience in other countries are not as secure. So when you are using a public Wi-Fi or a internet cafe in, say, Thailand or some other country, just be aware of the fact that other people can see what's going on online. And so if you're putting in credit card numbers and things like that, that's a very dangerous type of activity unless you've taken some precautions or you just don't do it in that format. You wait until you have a VPN, which is a virtual private network, or some other more secure method for accessing the internet. So yeah, the criminal's behavior is that they would attack the system of a missionary or somebody working abroad is not any different than what you would see here in the United States.
So I would hear you saying that people may be trolling at cyber cafes or coffee houses and such that have a wireless internet access specifically to get onto someone's computer.
Absolutely.
Whether it be a missionary, whether it be an NGO worker, or whatever it is, they're just looking for access.
Yeah, it really has less to do with the fact of any of our people being faith-based people. It's just that you're a Westerner. That most places we go, they look at us and they know that we ain't from around there. Yeah. And so it's not a leap of faith for them to say, oh, that's the person I'm seeing online and getting whatever information they could. And don't assume that your store owner might be in that same mindset, that he may see tourists and people come in and they may be selling information out the back door.
Doing it from both sides,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, would my phone be more secure to use in that setting?
As far as like setting up your phone as a private network?
Yeah, saying I'm using my ticket, I need to buy tickets to come back home with.
Yeah.
Would it be better to use it on my phone in that public setting, or was it better to be on my computer?
It would depend on your phone. Okay. It would depend on which network you use. So if you're using something in like Vodafone or something like that, which is a pretty substantial company, a very reliable company with a lot of security protocols in place, then you're probably going to be okay. Something like T-Mobile, you're probably going to be okay. Verizon, absolutely. But when you get off into the weeds with some of these smaller companies that have not really taken the precautions to close the back doors, then yeah, you're leaving yourselves open to exposure.
Now, you spoke of a VPN. Would you explain that a little bit more for us?
A VPN basically is, if you think of, you know, we talk about the internet highway or the pipe is full when we talk about data going through a pipe and that the pipe can only hold so much data. A VPN is a secure line that either you that you own yourself or you own with a group of other people who are known people. And the only way you can gain access is by a series of permissions to get into a VPN. You can't just join one. So it's a private network that you can join. And some schools, universities, they have their own that's totally secure. It's off the grid. And so it's very difficult to, it just adds another layer of security by having that.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying, if I'm serving in a foreign country and I'm just surfing the net, maybe catching up on email and those sort of things, maybe it's okay for me to be using those public access places. But if I'm going to be doing something that uses my credit card or, you know, doing some shopping or opening up apps that would include that information, probably better not to, unless I'm using some sort of security.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it in a public cafe at all. In fact, sometimes when you go to certain sites, it'll tell you to not use that site if you're using a public computer. So if you're going to walk away from that computer, you guess you have to remember that you're going to leave a digital image of whatever you did when you walk away. Even if you delete it, it's still traceable. Back in my days when I was in law enforcement for all those years, we sent several of our officers away to a forensic computer analysis school, and they could take computers that people had that wiped clean, and they found all kinds of stuff. Well, just ask our Secretary of State about that.
Well, I guess that's a good question. Go. Yes.
Yeah. So that stuff really never totally goes away.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I get that. And that adds a level of security for us. Is there any particular software you would suggest for us to download to protect computers or even phones, or would it be just better just don't expose yourself?
I can't get into proprietary software in terms of recommending one over another. I would recommend that whoever, with our people that are in the field, that they consult their whoever they trust in terms of their computer hardware and software. But I can speak to the issue of emails.
Okay.
So one of the, which is always a big topic, especially with people serving abroad, is like, should I encrypt my email or not? Well, I think that to back up, maybe go a little bit further altitude on that question is, why would you want to encrypt it? Why do you not want people seeing what you are saying over the internet? Because we're supposed to live our lives in public.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew 5:16, I believe it says. It says, "To let our light so shine before men so that they see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven."
Yes.
And so if we're conducting ourselves in a way that is culturally culturally respectful and sensitive to where we're serving and respectful to the government where we're serving, then why wouldn't you want why would you care if somebody sees that you're praying for someone over their illness or situation that's going on? Now, if you're serving in a creative access situation, that's a whole different ball game, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But I guess the larger question is, do you encrypt or not? And to answer that question is, like, you have to ask the question, who do you care who sees what you put?
Yeah.
So if, because the other edge of that sword is, if I'm a government actor and I see Ed Campion has an encrypted email that I can't open, I can't read, and I really haven't figured out what Ed Campion does in my country, but yet he lives better than most of the people in my country, my first thought is not you're a missionary. My first thought, you're CIA.
Yeah, and you want to know what I'm up to and what I'm looking at.
And so by your encryption actually stimulates my curiosity. Whereas if you had a Gmail account and were passing yourself off as a tourist or just some humanitarian worker, then that'd be more believable.
And for the record, I am not CIA, but just want to make
sure. Okay. I'm glad you clarified that. I was a little worried.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people, they when they go to certain countries, they grapple with that. It's like, should I? Now, there are some good encrypted email for either low prices or free. Swiss Mail, Proton Mail. There are several out there that you can use. But it begs the question, is like, if somebody picks up on your email and they ask the question, why are they encrypting? In order to answer that question, what's your threat? So if your threat is criminal, that's one thing. If your threat is you think that the government is going to pick up on what you're sending, then maybe you need to assess whether or not you need to be doing that. And then the third source, which is the rarest of all, that we tend to always lump at the beginning, is the radical ideologue, you know, the terrorist or somebody who's out to get Christians.
Right.
And sometimes we go to the field, and I've been guilty of this myself, is like, you have this assumption that we have this sign on our forehead that says we're Christians and we're here to save the world, and everybody knows it. Well, reality is they don't. And really, even if they knew that, in many, many countries, it would be so far down the rung of terms of raising an interest. They're much more interested in government actors. They're much more interested in high-profile business people than they are in faith-based workers. So really, you have to ask yourself the decision, do I enjoy the anonymity of just saying having a Gmail account, which is fairly secure?
Yeah.
Gmail is a big corporation that has a lot of resources, and their emails have been found to be very secure in terms of not being intercepted. And so you enjoy anonymity, some level of security, and you're not raising any red flags.
Yeah, I can get that. So government agencies may be looking at you, and if they see that you have an encrypted account, that actually raises the eyebrows. They're wondering, hey, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
And it brings you more suspicion. So it makes sense, unless you truly need it, don't use encryption.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they'll go to other countries and they won't have an encrypted email, or even if they do have an encrypted email, they will use code words.
Yes.
Like they'll put P*Y instead of pray.
Yeah.
Well, data mining tools easily pick up on that. So the best thing to do is just be yourself, is to be honest and straightforward, and don't use a lot of Christianese. You know, it's like I know of one person that we interact with quite a bit on the internet who probably has several people looking at his emails, and he's very upfront about asking the Father for blessing this person or blessing that person, and that's not threatening language. But if you're also, but in that same culture, if you talked about standing in the center square and handing out the four spiritual laws tract, that you might have a knock on your door at 1 a.m. So along those same lines, is be practical. Be a good witness, because how we conduct ourselves in another culture, we're representing the gospel.
Amen.
To those people, even if it's in a cyber environment.
Amen.
So if they, I'll leave it at that.
Well, let me ask this final question. I know that on my phone, I'm carrying all kinds of information, you know, whether it be in an Evernote account or whether it just be in other documents or, you know, email addresses and such. What can we do for security on our phones as we're moving about? I'm thinking on my person at most times, I have a lot of information.
There are some things you can do. A lot of people, particularly short-term people, the advice of experts that are much smarter than I am, is that you take a cold phone. Is that you don't take the phone that has all of those contacts listed, and that you may put them on the cloud or put them somewhere with access to where you can access them by way of computer or through the cloud, but they don't reside actually on the hardware of your phone. how, I don't know how to do that, to be quite honest. And I would ask people to consult the experts that they're comfortable with. And you should have more than one. Just don't take one expert's advice. Just shop around and get as many opinions as you can, because the technology changes so rapidly.
That's right.
And so what is secure one day is not secure another. I just heard a few weeks ago that MailChimp has been one of the more secure ways to convey information in newsletters, but yet there are people trying to breach that. So as things change, keep consulting people liberally. So the other way is, if you're carrying sensitive information, some people with computers, they will use dual hard drives.
Yes.
So one hard drive, so it's actually the computer can be booted up, that has just average stuff on it, and the other hard drive remains dormant, and it's inaccessible without some sort of secure password. Another thing that I've heard is secured encrypted thumb drives.
Yes.
You can buy an encrypted thumb drive to carry all your sensitive information on that unless it's got this encryption code attached to it, then it can't be accessed. And so those are ways that you can protect your information, that even if your computer gets seized at a government checkpoint or gets stolen, you know, at the back of a car, then they still can't access your account information or any of that personal stuff. And as far as security, I would always recommend a solid state hard drive over the more routine type that you find in a PC. The solid state seems to be more secure, according to the experts I've consulted.
I like one of the things you said, and it's something I enforce to everybody, is use those secret codes, use those passcodes, whether it be a thumbprint, whatever it may be. I'm always surprised how many people don't do that. And most people would be surprised what you have on your smartphone, especially the smartphones, but even the old dumb phones, as we used to call them. There's a lot of information on there, even just phone numbers to relatives and such, that can be used to leverage against you. Using that passcode, using some sort of lock on it, nothing's foolproof, but it sure is better than having nothing.
Yeah, and along that line, I don't want to go on and on and on, but food for thought. You may be thinking, what good is Uncle Bob's telephone number or Aunt Martha's telephone number like to some crook on the street? Well, they may steal your phone, and the next thing you know, Aunt Martha's getting a phone call saying, hey, we have Ed Compion in custody, when you don't even know.
Right.
And say, like, if you send us $5,000, we'll let him go. And so Aunt Martha, being panicked, and we've seen cases like this, it's mm-hmm. called virtual kidnapping, to where you're not actually kidnapped, but everybody back in the States thinks you are.
That's right.
So they raise $5,000, they wire it to an account, and then 2 days later, after you finally get a phone back or you contact somebody at home, say, yeah, I lost my phone. Oh, they let you go. What do you mean they let me go? I was never anywhere. Well, that's called virtual kidnapping, and it happens more often than people know.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point and a great reason to keep passcodes on all your devices.
Yes.
And by the way, maybe have those conversations with family members not to fall for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, Tim, anything else before we sign off?
Well, this is such a wide open, it's the new frontier. I mean, you and I are of an age that we didn't grow up with cell phones. We grew up with rotary phones.
That's right.
And I remember when we went to the push button phones, I thought we were in tall cotton then. But so we've come a long way, and people just need to be vigilant, and they need to glorify God in everything that they do. And even in their cybersecurity and the way they conduct themselves online, it's reflective of what God is doing in their lives. So we need to be the light to the world, and we need to have our actions be glorifying to Him. And so the way we protect ourselves and the way we present ourselves in our online presence is of the utmost importance.
Well said. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission, our podcast here at Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. We encourage you to give us some feedback. We'd love to get an email from you or find us on Facebook. God bless you.